Back in 2012, then Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warned of a catastrophic cyber attack that could cripple an entire nation or its military. Memorably, he called it a cyber Pearl Harbor. It was emblematic of a lot of the conventional wisdom that's built up around cyber warfare over the past decade or so, including the idea that the cyber domain is different from land, air, and sea because potential adversaries can't be deterred as easily, and it's impossible to tell who launched an attack in cyberspace. In a recent op-ed, Jay Healy challenges some of that conventional wisdom. Healy's director of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the Atlantic Council. He argues not only is deterrence possible in cyberspace, it's actually been a reality for a couple decades now. Jay joins us on the line now to talk about it. Thanks very much for coming back on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jared.
So when you talk about this idea of deterrence and the fact that it's already been going on, I think you're mainly talking about, you know, large nation-state on nation-state relationships, right?
Exactly. The deterrence that we're seeing isn't helping a lot for the criminals or for espionage. But when Leon Panetta warned in 2012, like you talked about, a cyber Pearl Harbor, it was a theme that we've been talking about for decades. We actually first started talking about that in 1991. So a lot of times when you hear someone talking about cyber deterrence, they're talking about how difficult it is to attribute the attack or what a low barrier of entry that people can get in, and how can you deter two kids in their basement? The way we approached it was saying, well, look, we've got this fact that we've been worrying about this thing for over two decades. Countries have had this capability to really harm one another, and they haven't done it. So what's that explanation?
Could one explanation be that, you know, it's not so much a deterrence issue as just these countries have lacked the motivation to want to engage in destructive attacks against each other? We've been in largely peaceful relationships.
Right, absolutely. And when we've seen nations attack other nations, it hasn't been out of the blue. It has been when they're already in a period of geopolitical tensions, such as Russia against Estonia or Georgia or against Ukraine or U.S., in Israel against Iran, or China and patriotic hackers against adversaries or perceived adversaries in the Pacific, is always part of a larger crisis. And so one of the points we're trying to get across is at this higher end of threshold, there's not really a difference between regular deterrence and cyber deterrence as much as we think.
And so,
like countries don't want, just like U.S. isn't going to start bombing China and they're not going to start bombing us with real weapons, neither country is really going to want to cross that line with cyber capabilities either.
So when you think about deterrence, we often think about, you know, the mutually assured destruction type of deterrence that we thought of, you know, during the Soviet period, during the Cold War. In what ways is this area of cyber and deterrence between nation states in that area different than it is in the nuclear arena?
It's a great question. And frankly, I think I want to focus more on the similarities.
Sure.
A lot of times, we don't like the nuclear analogy because we're not talking about nuclear weapons. We're talking about things that are a lot less dangerous. I mean, nobody's ever died from a cyber attack that our research has turned up. But the nuclear deterrence is good because when we first had nuclear weapons, some argued that this would end all war, that they would be so terrible we wouldn't fight. But it turns out we did the Korean War. Each side funded proxies in Africa and Latin America. There's all sorts of conflicts going on, but it always stayed below that threshold. And as we think, that's really instructive for looking at cyber. We've got all this espionage and crime and little covert actions here and there, but nobody's really crossed that threshold and to say, well, we're really going to use our strategic capability against one another. And that fundamental fact of this restraint is what we think should be the root of these conversations about cyber deterrence, rather than the things that are true at the technical or tactical level. I mean, let's start with the strategic truths rather than the tactical truths.
So let me go back to the idea that just because nations have exercised restraint up until now, that might not always be true in the future. I mean, you can imagine, I mean, hopefully we don't have to imagine, you know, a nation state coming out of what is now ISIL and, you know, that nation state acquiring enough cyber capabilities, you know, to do a country like us real harm. It's really hard to imagine a group like that being deterred by anything.
Right. And so I really want to try and call attention to is especially these areas of escalation. for example, I hear a lot of folks talk, well, we're under attack so badly we should shoot back. Well, there's a lot of countries that feel like they're being spied on pretty heavily by us, and what if they shoot back? I really worry about this in places like India and Pakistan, where each side, you know, we as cyber people have so scared our leadership about cyber. We've convinced them that they need to be terrorized about cyber attacks. The cyber attacks have never been strategically significant in conflict, not yet. So we're really worried about this escalatory back and forth between countries that think that cyber is not that dangerous or fear it really is. And we end up in this escalatory cycle that we don't want.
So let's play with that idea a little bit more. Let's say the folks in the policy shop at the Pentagon and at Cyber Command come around to your way of thinking about the nature of deterrence here. What does that change from a policy perspective? What would we be doing differently?
Yeah. First is, we're not going to be able to control this escalation. We're not going to be able to think clearly about cyber conflicts unless we start making these distinctions about the things that are true in the tactical and technical level, like that it's difficult to warn out, it's difficult to warn about, it travels at the speed of light, and we look at these actual strategic truths of how nations are really fighting. So in this case of deterrence, I still hear four-star generals, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, that still talk about how do we deter two kids in their basement. So we've got to start breaking apart what could be theoretically possible versus how nations have actually behaved, and start basing our policy more on what's happening rather than what could theoretically happen, but never yet has.
That's a good pivot to something else I wanted to talk about while I have you. I understand you're at the big DEF CON conference today, and you gave a presentation there this morning on this idea that we hear about from time to time, that, you know, offensive capabilities in cyberspace are growing much more quickly than defensive capabilities, and what the implications of that are. What's kind of the short version of your answer to that question?
My short answer to that is that we as cyber defenders, we as the United States, need to have a single cyber strategy, not separate ones for diplomacy, commerce, and military. And at the core of that has to be prosperity first and foremost. Our main national security goal has to be making sure that our digital economy and infrastructure is going to be safe. And with a vision of, we've got to flip this around so the defenders have the high ground. The defenders have the easier time, because we're 35 years at least into this process of where the attackers always have the easy time. And unless we flip that around, we're going to be talking about the same problems 20, 30, 40 years from now.
Do we know how to flip that around as of now, or is the point that we need to start putting some brain power into figuring it out?
We know some of that. Some people will talk about, well, we need to reinvent the internet so that it's more secure. I think that's probably going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to start imagining that defense is possible. For example, working at scale. Are there things that we can do once and have them done 100 times? For example, when I advise DHS, I say, don't try to convince board of directors. That's not the government's job to tell them that they're not taking risks seriously. Convince shareholders. Mm. If we could get Warren Buffett, tongue in cheek, to say, I care about cybersecurity, you convince that one guy and he will go out and convince everyone else. So we need to do things that are going to scale rather than try and work on the edges of the problem.